824.
Thank you.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and the last verse. You'll be where we need to be. Ruth, chapter 1, and verse, did I say 19? Right? Ruth, chapter 1, verse 19. Ruth and Naomi now, heading back to the promised land, I guess you could say. And Naomi's returning back to her home, where she heard of the good news that God was now blessing the people. And in verse 19, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. And the name Naomi means pleasant. Call me not pleasant. Call me Mara. And the word Mara means bitter. Bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Interesting, isn't it? Just to see the way the Lord is moving behind the scenes in the lives of people who are not sure that God is watching over them, but he is definitely doing that. You ever get to thinking that maybe the Lord doesn't know what's going on? Well, he knows exactly what's going on. And just keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us as we look at these things tonight. Guide and direct our thoughts. Help me as I speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Barley harvest. Now, Naomi is still bitter and calls herself Mara. You know, our New Testament scriptures tell us not to be like that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Right after the scripture verse talking about grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let all bitterness... Now, Naomi had a bitterness with God himself. And we should take note there that bitterness is not a good thing. Not a good thing for us to be entertained in life. Ruth and Naomi arrive at the time of barley harvest. And they came to Bethlehem, it says back here in Ruth, in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, I'm going to, in just a few minutes, show you that that's a beautiful dispensational picture. But first of all, Ruth and Naomi arrive at the time of barley harvest. And then in verse 1 of chapter 2, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. By the way, the name Boaz means strength, all right? And he's going to be a type of Christ as we continue on through this. And certainly our Savior is strong to deliver us. Verse 2, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Ruth did not wait around for Naomi to take care of her. She went right about her business of taking care of herself. She came with Naomi to her land and to her God's land and everything. She didn't wait around for Naomi to take care of her. She got out there in that field and busied herself in the harvest field. Here's a Gentile woman in the field of Israel, busying herself in the business of harvesting the barley. All this, a very beautiful dispensational picture. First of all, I see the report of God's blessing brings Naomi back into the land. This would, as far as I'm concerned, kind of picture Israel getting ready for the Lord's coming, the first time that he came. Good news. The birth of that child should have been good news to the children of Israel. So the report of God's blessing in Israel is like the first coming of Christ. Naomi being bitter at this point would speak to us of Israel's rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came the first time. And then Ruth coming along with Naomi back into the land would be a beautiful picture of the Lord after seeing Israel's rejection, turning to the Gentiles to take out of them a bride for his son. And that's a beautiful picture of you and I, the church age, made up mainly of Gentile, but both Jew and Gentile bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth in that harvest field would be a beautiful picture of the church age that we live in now that Israel has rejected their Messiah and God now is reaching out to the Gentiles to be saved. We see the church reaping the harvest until the regathering of Israel and consummation of all things. How about that? The church is busy in the world right now spreading the good news of salvation through a Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, that people might get saved and be part of this Gentile bride, like Ruth will be a Gentile bride to Boaz by the time the story is done. The church is going through the harvest field, gathering souls for Christ. Notice that the time of this year, of the year when they arrive in the back in the land, fits into the feast days of Leviticus 23. In Leviticus 23, you can read the seven feasts that God has given to Israel to commemorate throughout the year. Starts off with the Passover. And then there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then there's the Feast of First Fruits. The first things that come out of the ground were to be offered unto the Lord and given unto him. And then 50 days later, it would be Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. Now, what happened at Pentecost? That's where the Holy Spirit came down and filled all those believers, and they went forth, and the church age started. I believe the church age started at the day of Pentecost. And God saw Israel in blindness, and so he turns now his attention to the Gentiles and brings them on in, and that would be Pentecost. And then the next feast is the Feast of Trumpets, where the trumpets sound and the regathering of Israel is to take place. And then the Feast of the Day of Atonement. And that would be when the Lord would come back and redeem Israel unto himself, take them back unto himself, they trusting in him. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a picture of the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all this kind of is a dispensational picture here in the book of Ruth. And Ruth gratefully serving. She didn't wait around. She said, all right, Naomi, here we are. I need to go out and take care of ourselves and provide for ourselves. And she goes out and gratefully serves. And how about you? We are like Ruth. We're in that Gentile church age period now. And we need to start serving the Lord. Just like she was out in the barley fields, we need to be out in the fields reaping souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And how often do we allow opportunities to speak for the Lord to go by? And we, I don't know about you, but a lot of times after the fact, I think to myself, you know, I could have said something to that person. You know, I could have given that person a tract. I could have spoken for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to do that. And don't let the opportunities go by. Ruth could have just sat around, done nothing. But she didn't. Out there in the field she is, working and reaping. And you know what's going to happen? The Lord is going to bless her. And give her a great blessing. And take care of her needs. Which is, there needs to be someone to come to their aid to help them out, to help out Naomi and to help out Ruth and to help out also the family name, Elimelech. His sons died without children. And so that was a bad thing in the nation of Israel for that to happen to you. And so it was always in the responsibility of the rest of the family to try to raise up seed unto the dead who died without having any children. So the Lord's going to do a great thing for her. But you know what? She's out there working and serving in the field. How about you and I? Are we out there serving, working in the field? If we do, I think there is a blessing that the Lord will give to us as we serve him. There is nothing better than to see a soul get saved and start to see a new life in them living for the honor and glory of the Lord. That's a beautiful thing to see. We've seen it here over the years, and it's a wonderful thing to watch. I'd like to see more of it happening between now and the time we go to be with the Lord in the rapture or at our death. I'd like to see that taking place. But notice Ruth's hap was to light on a part of a field belonging unto Boaz in verse 3 there. Ruth, by chance, gleans in Boaz's field. Well, you know what? I know that the Bible says it was her hap, but I believe the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, is trying to say to you, look what's going on here. Ruth, just by being busy about doing what she's doing, ends up in the very field of the man who's going to redeem them. But the rest of the book shows you that God is behind this whole thing. You know, you don't hear too much about God in this book, but God is constantly working in the background, constantly. I take you to Psalm 37, if you would. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 in verse 23. We can apply this to Ruth. We can apply it to ourselves as well. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know, nothing just happens by chance with the Lord. The Lord is behind it, constantly working. And even though the scripture there says her hap was, her perchance was to fall on the same plot of land that belonged to Boaz, the Lord was behind it all the time as well. And don't ever think that things just happen. No, God is directing things, and we need to understand it. Isaiah 30, another verse along this line. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. Isaiah verse 30, or chapter 30 and verse 21, it's in a passage where the Lord is working on his people Israel to get them to see that he's watching over them. Verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Well, that voice is the Lord saying to you, hey, go this way. Hey, turn this way. Go that way. And the voice will lead you in the way that you ought to go. That's the Lord. He's constantly watching over you. And Ruth was only going about her business, but God was working on her behalf. Now, in verse 4 of chapter 2, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. I understand that a lot of the fields back in those days would have a little hut or a place for the reapers to kind of go and get out of the sun and just get a little breather, I guess you could say. So she tarried a little in the house. So she didn't stay there all day. She was out under the sun working hard, took a little time off. And verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him. And these are words that you and I should identify with. We are Gentiles, folks. We're not part of the tribes of Israel, and yet we are enjoying the salvation through Israel's Messiah. Listen to this. Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I'm a foreigner. Why would you take interest in me? what we see here is Ruth meets Boaz. And Boaz, first of all, inquires concerning Ruth, much like my seeking Savior. You know, most of the songs we sing about how I came to the Lord, it is always about He sought me. He found me. I didn't find Him. I wasn't looking for Him. He was looking for me. And he constantly is looking. He wants all men to come unto Him. And He's not willing that any should perish. What words of blessing come from Boaz's lips? Boaz is the type of Christ in this whole thing, by the way. The words of blessing and grace come from his lips. Look at verse 4. Boaz comes to the field and he says to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." You know, these are the servants of Boaz. What kind of a relationship must Boaz have had with his own servants? If Boaz is a type of Christ and you and I are servants in his field, what kind of relationship should we have with the Lord Jesus Christ? It should be just like this. I might be stretching this a little bit here, but Boaz says, to kind of put it in today's English, "Hello, guys, the Lord be with you." And they go, "Yeah, boss, the Lord be with you too." And you know what? That's how it should be with us and the Lord. The Lord would bless us, and we ought to bless the Lord. We ought to be the first ones to want to sing out and praise the Lord and say a word for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then Boaz said unto his servants, "Whose damsel is this?" And these servants respond back in a great way about this damsel, Ruth. It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And these servants are like us, and they speak good of Ruth. We should speak good of those who are coming unto Christ. We should have a desire for them just like Boaz has a desire for Ruth. Yeah, I believe Boaz, it's love at first sight here. Boaz sees Ruth, and he's interested in her. I don't know that she understands right away that he's interested in her, but she does finally figure it out that, wow, he loves me. Wow. And the servants of Boaz didn't say anything nasty or bad about Ruth. There was an interest there, and they made sure that they gave a good report about Ruth, and we ought to do the same thing. In other words, we ought to really be concerned about those who are seeking after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't be doing anything that would turn somebody away. We should be concerned about them just like they were. Then Boaz speaks to Ruth, and verse 8 there, I believe Boaz was interested in her, okay? So he would woo her by keeping her in his field. Don't go anywhere else. I want you to be close by my field. You stay right here. And you stay fast by my maidens. Now that just means he had responsibility for others to take care of. Back in those days, if you owned a field like Boaz had, according to the law, and the book of Deuteronomy talks about this, when you would reap a field, you were not supposed to completely glean it clean. But on purpose, you were to leave some behind for the poor and needy. And they would come through your field, and they had a right given to them by God to be able to come behind your reapers and pick up the things that were left behind. And this was a common thing. Now, I'm sure there were probably some Israelites who were greedy and they just cleaned it clean and could care less about the poor. But Boaz was not like that. You know what? You keep seeing Boaz as a beautiful type of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Boaz was a sinner like anybody else, needed salvation like anybody else. But this book is presenting Boaz as a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he would leave little, who I'm talking about, my Lord and Savior, would leave little things behind for the poor to pick up. Little things of his grace and mercy. Little messages of salvation Might not a track be something like that? You know, left behind? You know, we got all those tracks in the back there. Brother Jim keeps them all up to date and everything, and keeps all the tracks filled up. We need to pass them out. We need to leave some little handfuls of purposes, we're going to see later on, behind for the lost to pick up, that they might get saved and come to know our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. So I believe Boaz was interested in her, so he would woo her to himself. You know, for you to pull away from the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to work at it. For someone to go to hell, you have to really work at pulling away from God's wooing of you unto himself. And in that passage that we've all memorized a while back, remember Psalm 2? Would you just go there, Psalm 2? I think there's something for us to see here in these verses, as we often say them. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And there's a question mark there. Why do they do this? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, see what they have to do to get away from the grace and mercy of God? They've got to break their bands asunder. Whose bands? I believe the Lord's bands of trying to draw them unto himself. And whose cords are they casting away here? The Lord's and his anointed. They're casting away those cords. Boaz was seeking after Ruth. And the Lord sought after me. I hope you understand that he sought after you too. But how about those who reject the Lord and end up dying in their sin and going to hell? I believe they have to go over the grace of God in order to get into hell. They have to say no to God's wooing of them unto himself. And I believe, as John chapter 1 tells us, that light entered into the world and lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And every man who goes to hell has to trip over, purposely trip over, the wooing grace of God, trying to bring them unto himself. So what does Boaz do? He provides for her, and he says, I don't want you to go in any other field. And when you're thirsty, I want you to come and drink. Reminds me of another woman that he told that to, the Lord Jesus Christ, the woman at the well. I got water. If you drink, you'll never thirst. Ruth, I don't want you to go anywhere else. And when you get thirsty, you come to the vessels that are meant for the reapers, and I want you to partake of them. He provided for her water, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that thirst come and take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22 tells us. And Boaz's response reminds one of God's grace in reaching the sinner. Reaching out to this stranger woman from Moab. And then what has happened here? Ruth questions the boundless grace of Boaz. Ruth doesn't know who he is. Okay, she doesn't have a full understanding of who he is yet. But he's obviously showing to her great grace. And God's love, God loves to extend such grace to a willing heart. You know that? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God loves extending his grace out to sinners. Now, that doesn't really make sense. We have a holy God here reaching out to sinful men in grace and in mercy to bring them unto himself and to change them for his own honor and glory. Now, Look at verse 11 and 12, and I'm going to end with these things here. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." You know what it tells me here? Boaz knew all about Ruth. Now, of course, he had to gather that information, all right? He was watching and he heard that information. He heard tell the news that Naomi came back. And you know what? There's a strange girl with her. Ruth is her name. She's a Moabitess woman. But she has connected herself to our land, to our people, to Naomi and to her God. And she loves the God of Israel. And she's an upright woman and a good woman, a virtuous woman and everything. And she takes care of Naomi. And Boaz heard all about this. You know, Jesus knows all about you. How about Nathanael? And he said, "Oh, I knew you when you were sitting under the sycamine tree." And Nathanael, wow. Then this must be the Son of God. This must be the one we're waiting for. And how about Jeremiah? "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee." Ruth's choice here to go with Naomi back into the land had repercussions for her that would be wonderful and beautiful. It reminds me of the other incident, and this is where we'll close. Go to Matthew. From these verses, we'll go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. And verse 21. Ever since having preached through the book of Matthew verse by verse, this little passage has become more precious to me than ever before. I hope it has to you as well. It just keeps coming up quite often in my mind when I realize that I'm a Gentile to whom God stretched out his hand of mercy to save. And I really don't deserve it. And here's Ruth saying, "Why are you being so kind to me? Seeing that I'm just a stranger, you know?" All right. Matthew 15, 21. "During the ministry and life of Christ on earth, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast." So this is a Gentile woman, not a Jew. "And cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said," a lot like Ruth to Boaz, okay? "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." I don't know about you, but I've put myself right in that story. I don't deserve anything either. But we have to come to Jesus, who is the Son of David, and accept his grace and mercy. And Jesus at first wouldn't even say anything to her. I believe he was drawing out of her what needed to be drawn out that day, not only for her sake, but for the disciples' sake round about him and the children of Israel's sake, for that they might see, look, here's a Gentile being blessed by our Messiah. Why shouldn't we participate and partake of the same? But the big thing, I believe, is a Gentile woman receiving just the crumbs from the master's table. That's me. I'm saved the same way. I'm enjoying the crumbs from the master's table, and I'm saved. Ruth is going to enjoy also the crumbs from the master's table, and she's going to enter into a relationship with Boaz, which is going to change everything. And it's going to change the eternal destiny of every one of you sitting here tonight in this room. Your eternal destiny sits upon what happened here in the book of Ruth. Because Ruth would give birth to a baby who would then give birth to a son named David, who would then be the king in from which the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world. This story is absolutely important for your salvation and mine. Not only Ruth is going to be blessed, but you and I are going to be blessed. That's a wonderful thing. Isn't it good to be saved? And isn't it good to know that the salvation story is not an easily put together thing? This is a magnificent, beautiful plan of God, planned out even before the foundation of the world. You know, you might say, oh, what if Elimelech and his and Naomi and his two sons never went down to Moab? Well, then, you know what? Don't put anything beyond our God's ability to take care of. The story could have been in a different way or some other way. Don't ever think it's right to do wrong that good may come of it. God was working here from the foundation of the world to bring these things to pass. And yet we've got people doing things on their own free will. And yet God is still able to save whoever comes unto him. Well, I hope that's a blessed thought to you. I know it is to me. I stand here tonight saved by the absolute, boundless, limitless, measureless grace and mercy of God. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved, right? All right, Jason, come get on the piano. Let's sing Thank God I Am Saved, right? What number is that in our...
Thank God I Am Free.
Yep, that's the one I want.
152.
Thank God I Am Free. And it's which one?
152.
152 in our chorus book. Those listening on the internet, sorry about it, but this is a good song we love to sing here. Thank God I Am Free, number 152. If you are thankful, sing it out, okay? 152.
singing that the rest of the week, right, Gloria? She says every time we sing that song, and we're singing it all week long. Amen. That's good. Have a good week. And a good day tomorrow, Memorial Day. If you get a chance to, you know, recognize the men and women who paid the price for us to be free. Well, I don't know how much longer we're going to really be free, but people pay the price. So be thankful that you're an American. All right. See you.